Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. I am Maggie Morgan, one of your hosts, and with me today is the man who really needs no introduction. Mm-hmm. But it's the incredible, effervescent, ever joyful, love of my life, Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
Are you saying that I am your baby gorgeous?
You are my baby gorgeous.
Oh my gosh. Actually, Maggie, I'm really doing amazing. I went to a bathhouse in Brooklyn where I was like submerged in a bath. Literally. It was so great. So I feel very rejuvenated. I had to do it for this pod. I feel very rejuvenated. Yeah. I feel very cleansed. I feel very awakened to read.
Amazing.
And I'm feeling it. Also, guys, me and Maggie went out last week and we had a phenomenal time, I felt, was just so fun to talk to Maggie, and we had a great bonding time.
It was. Yeah. It was super fun. And before we get into any more of that, I do want to welcome in our guests that we have today. You might have seen them on season 41 of Survivor. They were absolutely incredible. There's this amazing moment where they hack one of the challenges and Jeff gives them the biggest shout out in the world. It's the one and only Dr. Evie Jagoda. Welcome,
wow.
Evie.
Wow. What an intro.
Maggie does the best intros ever.
Wow. I'm no T-Bird. Wow. Okay.
Love you, baby.
Evie, we're excited to have you here.
I literally love the podcast. This is very exciting for me.
Oh, this is so amazing. Thank you for listening, for starters. Now I know at least like four people listen to this podcast. But when you were on with Rob doing the deep dive and you said that you listened to the podcast, I immediately texted Jacob and was like, well, we have to get them on. Like, no brainer. I'm going to reach out to them on Instagram right now.
Literally dream come true. I responded embarrassingly quickly, I feel like, to your DM. I was like, I know I should like wait to like act a little coy. No. Yes, I want to do this. And here we are.
You know what was actually really sweet about the Instagram interaction too, is that we talked a little bit about Housewives and then like, you didn't just like let it slow fade away. You were like, I have to go, but like, I'll let you know when I have the answer about when I can come on. And it was really nice.
Oh my God. I love that you said that. I love that we have this recorded because my partner literally always makes fun of me for doing that. She's like, that's so weird to do on like a DM, like just like let it go. And I'm like, no, I don't want them to respond. And then me be like, I am over this. Like, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, okay, yeah. I'm going to go back to my world. Goodbye. You know,
no, you can tell her that I really appreciated it. I was like, okay, great. I'm going to hear from Abby again soon.
And you did. And here we are.
That's very sweet. I look very intently into DMs. And so if someone did that to me, I would feel, oh, thank you so much. Very kind.
Because it stresses me out. I don't want the pressure of like, oh no, like I'm now the last one to send. You know what I mean? I just want to be like, okay. This is a conversation. Yeah. The conversation is paused for now.
So in the DM, you did say that you were going to maybe bring an espresso martini, but I do see that you have a very fancy glass. Mm. I don't think it's an espresso martini, but do you care to share what it is that you've brought to the pod?
Yes. I'm glad you asked because I invented this drink tonight specifically for this podcast. Okay. I'm calling it the Dirty Martini with Safety. I feel like that has like a Survivor advantage style name. And here's how the Dirty Martini with Safety works. Okay. Part one, Dirty Martini. I love Real Housewives of New York. Love Dorinda.
Yes.
So Dirty Martini, you know, an homage to her. So that's the main part. But obviously the main fun of drinking a martini, as I'm sure you two know with your espresso martinis, is having a martini glass. I mean, you just look badass. You look hot, you know, just facts. But I was afraid that if I had a dirty martini glass, I would absolutely spill it during the recording of this podcast and I would be all flustered from spilling it. So that's not safe. So I put it in this cup for more safety. That's part one of the safety. Part two of the safety is that I was afraid that if I just had the dirty martini, I would drink it really fast and get really drunk at the beginning of the podcast.
Oh my God.
So I also put in a bunch of seltzer. So
that you belong on this podcast with us. You belong.
No, honestly. When we had those espresso martinis, I remember I was just sipping. And I think I was done very fast. And I felt it because Maggie is a heavy pourer, a heavy handed. And because the way that
they just were good.
They were good. But the way that I felt, child.
I was about to say, you did get drunker than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird. Like Jacob and I have drank several times together and I always get way drunker than him, like way quicker because I'm a huge lightweight. But somehow that night, yeah, when you left, I was like, he got way drunker than me. Maybe I just ate a big dinner or something before you came, but
it just went down my body.
Okay, so Evie, you mentioned that you love Real Housewives of New York. Like, how did you get into the Housewives? When did you start watching Salt Lake City? We want to hear your whole backstory.
Yes. Okay, so I am from the suburbs of New York City. So, like, the New York Housewives, well, I got into it, I guess, my girlfriend and her old apartment had, like, literal TV. Like, it just, like, turned on one day and they had channels, which is, like, very unusual for, you know, us people. So yeah, Housewives would just be like on sometimes at her house. And I literally, like, the first episode I ever saw was like that insane. I don't know how familiar you all are with New York, but it was like this one where they all go to Ramona's house and it's like Leah and Tinsley get like naked in the pool. And yes, they're like throwing
I know what you're talking about.
It's an epic episode. And I was just like, okay, I get it now. Like, I see what this is about. So New York is like number one, like home. And like, obviously none of the housewives are relatable, but like the type of unrelatable that the New York ones are is like, I get it. I'm like, New York, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unrelatable. So New York's kind of like home. Then like Beverly Hills was like my next love. And I still love them. But I then Potomac kind of surpassed. Potomac is so good. And I feel like it's underrated. Good.
Oh, completely. So good. Yes.
Criminally underrated. It's incredible. If you're watching if you're listening to this podcast and you have not listened to Real House of Potomac, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Evie, I concur with you on, New York, I really never got into New York just because I just never did. Mm-hmm. But spoiler, kind of rumor alert, Dorinda may be coming back. It's alleged. Whoa. It's been alleged. And
allegedly.
This past season was bad. They need her.
It was. And I think not having Dorinda, I think took a bunch of time off for personal reasons and just different things like that. But I think the Real Housewives of New York franchise definitely needs Dorinda. But also Beverly Hills. Can I get you to name? I like when people name favorites on these shows because it, in my mind, it puts them in a category. Not saying if you say, oh, I think Kyle Richards is the creme de la creme of Housewives, I'm going to be mad, but I am going to look at you with a side eye. So please tell me your favorite. And I want your favorite Beverly Hills housewife and your favorite Potomac housewife. And Potomac, okay. I'm probably going to judge you harder, TBH.
Okay. Let's should we just get it out of the way? Okay. I feel like for all the shows I have, like the person that I feel like I'm like rooting for, but then there's like my favorite character and those are not the same. In Potomac, Robin is like who I'm like rooting for and I just like love her. And I know that's maybe like boring or like whatever, but like Giselle is like who I'm like, fuck yes. Like, let's go.
Really?
Yeah. So how judged am I? Am I kicked gagging. Off the podcast?
No, but Evie, notice, I know you listen to this podcast, so notice every single week, Jacob and I literally feel the exact opposite about every single housewife. Like every single week, we come in having the exact opposite opinion. So,
I love it. Wait, who's your Potomac love?
Have you seen all of Potomac?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or actually, Karen, was there like, yeah, no, I have. I'm pretty sure I have.
Okay. Karen Huger, the grand dame, the creme de la creme of Potomac housewife. Giselle, great producer housewife.
Right.
Amazing storyline pusher. Right. I like Giselle in a way that I respect Giselle. Monique.
I mean, she brought it.
Oh, Monique. You know, Monique is going to be on a new show.
Oh, really?
It's on the Oprah Winfrey Network. It's about like love and marriage, DMV. But so Karen, Monique, Beverly Hills. Okay. I have like LVP will forever be solidified in Real Housewife history, and Kim Richards.
Yeah. Oh, Kim is so fun. Kathy, though, is freaking hilarious. The trio of them. Yeah. Wow.
So funny.
What a family.
So funny.
But I would say in terms of favorite Beverly Hills character, give me some Brandy. Come on.
Okay. Wait. Evie, I like Brandy. I have a thing, though. It's a very sick and twisted and annoying thing that I do when watching these Housewives shows. I pick a favorite, and anyone that goes against that favorite, I'm like, screw you. So I like Brandy.
You get your stand card.
I give my stand, and that's it. I like Brandy until Brandy got on the opposite side of LVP. Then I was like, oh, you can go. You can go.
Okay, but we all know, okay, not to get too into Beverly Hills, but like clearly, okay, I agree. There's always like a producer housewife, and clearly LVP was that in Beverly Hills.
I think it's and Kyle.
I mean, I guess kind of, but Lisa like was just really good at it, I feel like. Oh, she clearly for sure. like had these schemes like set up, and Brandy was clearly her like, she sent Brandy out to do missions that would just blow up in Brandy's face.
I concur.
And then Lisa would get to be like, no, I'm protecting Brandy,
what
but that was
I
horrid
do?
What she did. Like, and then Brandy had to slap a bitch. I mean, come on.
literally. And when Andy Cohen mentioned Brandy, we're talking about the Brandy that was on Celebrity Big Brother 1 for everyone else that's watching in correlation to Big Brother.
Oh my God. I did not know that. Wow. Sorry. My lack of Big Brother. I need to go check that out. Wow.
Oh, and yeah, she was iconic on those feeds, Evie. There was a wine night. There was one particular wine night. One of the wildest celebrity U.S. yeah. Big Brother moments to come out of that.
Incredible.
But yeah, Brandy Glanville is a top tier housewife.
And of course, she brought some queer content. It was messy and weird.
Oh, when I say Denise Richards, I felt so bad for her in that moment.
I did too.
I was like, no. But I loved
people
it.
People told me there was going to be like this like lesbian plot point. I was like so excited. And then I was like, this is what we get. Like this horrible, like unconfirmed, like life ruining, like horrible.
Literally.
Situation.
Bravo, bravo, bravo. it got that iconic moment out of it. So I'm kind of pleased with it. So,
true.
So bringing it back to this. No, this is amazing. And I know everybody will be like super into this, but to bring it back to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, what we're here to talk about, how do you feel about these women? Like, what are you, like, how do you feel? Who's your favorite? Who are you against? I mean, we'll talk after you explain about, you know, we're going to do tea time, everybody, at the top of the podcast, because there's just some stuff that has to be addressed. Like, we can't talk about the episode without addressing the Jenny situation. So that's coming. But before that, I would like a little bit of brevity, and I would like to hear your thoughts on these housewives overall.
Okay. I will say something that I struggle with this franchise is that there's no one that I'm like, I have a really hard time ever like rooting for anyone like consistently at all. Like, they like are all just kind of like all over the place. I feel like Lisa, like I've obviously heard y'all's debate. Like, although it seemed like you were converging recently.
Now I'm not.
Yeah.
Not.
I mean, honestly, my stand card my stand card may get revoked after like this tea time talk that we're about to have. Cause I have some issues with the statement or the non-statement or the whatever the hell that was. We'll get into it. But yes. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah. So I find her frustrating. I mean, I definitely find them all like frustrating in general. I do like obviously, okay, this is like probably an unpopular take, but like I can't without Jennifer Shaw, I like can't see this. Like, she's my favorite character. Like, she's horrible. Like, it's not the favorite character is not someone you love or root for. Like, she does disgusting things all the time. But like, I also find her like, she also feels like in some ways, even though she is like literally lying all the time, but like a lot of times she's also like so raw in her emotions that it's like very compelling. You know what I mean? Like, it's like feels like realer than like a Lisa Barlow, who it's like you don't believe that, Lisa. Like, I don't freaking believe what you're saying. And I don't even think you believe what you're saying. And you think that we're going to fall for it, but we don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's my take. I mean, but you know, you got some Mary Cosby. There's, which again, all problematic, not even faves. But yes. Like, you know, yeah, mm-hmm. that's so it's like, it's in a rough spot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is in a rough spot, and it's in an even rougher spot if we want to open here what the hell happened this week. So Jacob and I actually, like, the day we went out on Wednesday, and in the morning I saw the thread. It's an imager thread that after this episode I will find and tweet out so that anybody who listens who like hasn't seen it, which if you listen to this podcast and you don't know about it, like, I'm actually really like shook that this has dodged you, because this is all over Housewives Everything. But
and surpassing Housewives Everything, surpassing just Housewives things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Completely. So Jenny, some old Facebook posts of hers came to light from as like recently as 2020, mm-hmm. when, you know, the murder of George Floyd happened. And these Facebook posts had incredibly racist, derogatory, violent, just like abhorrent things about Black people, the Black community. Just they were like very Trump supporting, and they just like honestly were really, really disgusting. Evan, who we've had on the podcast, sent them to me and was like, my stomach literally hurts looking at this, like to the point where like shared like a political cartoon that was talking about people murdering rioters with their car and like checking off the back of the, like on the back of their window, like doodling tick marks and stuff, just like truly horrific stuff. And so that came out, and obviously everybody was up in arms, and they were like, well, clearly Jenny can't stay, but it does appear that Jenny is going to be on the next season because they have already started filming, and they said that it's going to basically begin the season and all of this is going to be addressed. And Meredith tweeted something pretty cryptic and was just like vile or something. She said something like that, and somebody tweeted her back and was like, hello? Like, you have anything else to say? And she was like, we're not allowed to speak out on it at the current moment, but trust me, things are going on behind the scenes. And then Thursday night, Jen Shaw came out with a statement denouncing what Jenny said, Jenny's actions. Jenny posted an apology on Instagram. And I do want to read the apology that Jenny posted, because I do think that in order to fully grasp like the delusional level of whatever the hell is going on with her, like you need to hear it out loud. So is it okay if I read this? Jenny says, I want to acknowledge and apologize for my deleted Facebook post from 2020 that resurfaced today. At the time, literally a year and 6 months ago. Okay. At the time, I thought I was speaking out against violence, but I have since learned how offensive and hurtful my words were. It's why I deactivated that account more than a year ago, and why I continue to try to learn about perspectives different from my own. I regret those posts and am sincerely sorry for the pain they caused. Which, one more thing that I do want to say is that she did not deactivate the account. Literally, fans looked her up on Facebook and found these posts. Like, they're all imager account. Like they were screenshotted like a week ago. So then Jen came out with a statement just like really flatly denouncing it on Thursday. We think, fans think, that she came out with the statement before Bravo had okayed it. And then in the comments, Jen was saying like, she's going to quit now that they're keeping Jenny on after she saw the comments. Then on Friday, Friday and Saturday, other housewives started making posts, and every single one of them used the words racism, highly condemned. Like, we're very frank about it, except for Lisa Barlow's, who basically just said like, my heart hurts. I'm sorry that the community that I care about is sad. And that is where we are currently. So Jacob, take it away.
very beautifully put, in the synchronization of everything and how the flow of everything went. Jenny, I am disgusted of your ignorant remarks, and it was very disheartening. Not immediately when I saw it, actually tuning into the episode yesterday made me feel, I think, the feelings that probably I would have felt when I first saw the post organically. Because when I saw it, I was like, sometimes you get numb to things just as a person in a marginalized group, especially when so much is happening. You kind of see things and I'm just like, okay, like, this is annoying and horrible, but you just become numb to it. But seeing Jenny's face on last night's episode, I was like, it got me pissed off. It got me just like sad. I was like, let me like not watch this. Like, let me not even talk about you. And looking at every action that she has done over the 17 past episodes, which Bravo, a season that's running 24 episodes, baby, it's time to dial back up. Just a tiny bit, but just some more production speaking. It just made me very sick. And just to see her and her confessionals and her with Mary, just every little thing that Jenny did, it altered my opinion. I already didn't have a very high opinion of her, as I've said from the get-go, but it just made me even more sick. And to see the ladies make their posts publicly and to see, you know, all of them denouncing this action that took place, and also seeing what Lisa Barlow put, and a lot of the housewives first, because we saw what Meredith said on Twitter, which she said bile, then other people were commenting. She was the first one to say kind of anything out there. She said bile. And even I was looking at my homegirl Meredith like, Meredith, that Meredith, do I need to pick up the phone and call you? You know what I mean? What is this? And I'm glad that she got called out and that she provided that statement saying, oh, that's all we're allowed to do right now. And that kind of pissed me off for Bravo, honestly, because I get you're running a show, but this is also something and someone that you're paying and perpetuating their lives to. Honestly, Bravo has made the most money off of African-American women on their network. Hands down. Atlanta Housewives, Married to Medicine, Potomac Housewives, numerous African-American women, NeNe Leakes, you know, like Bravo has gotten their checks, honestly, due to African-American women. And not saying, oh, they're the people that watch the show the most, but like they're the people that like bring the kind of Bravo to its head. You know, we have all these other franchises, but like the highest rated and the highest viewed ones are Atlanta Housewives, Potomac Housewives. And then New York kind of comes up there, not recently, but it was up there at one point. And to see that that's the stance, oh, y'all can't talk about this publicly because we're still running a show, it's kind of sickening in a lot of ways that they put the show over kind of being anti-racist and condemning that publicly. And the fact that Bravo has oftentimes made comments or statements when something on their network has been a racist or racially charged or racially insensitive, My homie Kenya Moore did not like this thing that you did, but a couple seasons ago, I don't remember when this was, for Halloween, she wore a Native American costume, and Bravo issued, and they edit that whole thing out of the entire, like, they showed it originally, then they issued like a, they issued a statement on the beginning of that episode. And then after like the replay, they completely edited out. You don't see that image anymore. And they made a public statement. Bravo did, the network did, and they addressed it on Watch What Happens Live, and they berated the issue numerous times. And we see shows like The Challenge, when we have something that's going on like that, we've seen how The Challenge edits out a person completely from the season, from the show. And just a Bravo that they, like I said before, they make their money really on like the backs of African-American women. The fact that y'all can't publicly, not saying y'all are having these other women that don't stand for it, also being very cryptic and silent with their words, was very hurtful. And to see Jen Shaw come out and say, Bravo's mad at me because I made a statement before they gave me the okay. Like, this woman lays down with an African-American man. This woman like gave birth to African-American children. Like, this hits home. This woman was in her home. And so it from Jenny's disgusting comment to Bravo's lack of attention of calling it out. And also Lisa Barlow was on Watch What Happens Live last night and it got brought up and she said, well, I haven't been on Jenny's Facebook in a long time. And, I'm not racist. I stand with, the people affected. It was very coy, very.
She said she was vehemently anti-racist, which like, I just simply, based off of her statement, that just simply cannot be true. Mm-hmm. If you were an anti-racist person, you would have taken the time during the George Floyd murder, when all of that was going on, gone through the Facebook posts, you know, deleted anybody who was not. If you were suggesting to Bravo, this woman come on the show, you're going to do your research. And when this stuff comes to light, you're not making a non-statement.
And it came out that Lisa Barlow liked the post. It came out that Lisa Barlow liked the post recently, before this all things happened, of Jenny. So it's like you've at least seen this stuff. And you are like, in certain ways, mm-hmm. you know, that statement, you are the company you keep. Mm-hmm. Like you brought this woman on the show. And so, Abby, I would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for all that you said. Like, I really wanted to hear, you know, your perspective on it. And I mean, yeah. I think the Bravo element really can't be overstated. And Maggie, I didn't know until you said that the posts were literally findable so recently, because I had assumed that she deactivated it or like whatever, hid them because she was being cast on the show. And the fact that they were literally available recently, like Bravo obviously did a background check on her. Like the first thing, you know, like obviously I went through some element with being on Survivor, like obviously they check your social media and all that stuff. And so if this was as easy for like fans to find, obviously Bravo saw them, knew about them, didn't care about them, put mm-hmm. her on a show with a Black woman. And that is violence. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To put Mary yeah. in that situation. Mm-hmm. And like for a network that is so like, you know, I feel like they're very much doing the like post 2020 thing of like putting Black women on a lot of their franchises, mm-hmm. You know, like popping, you know, into New York and Beverly Hills. And like, it just shows how shallow so much of this is. Like, okay, we'll like have a person of color and we'll just like also put yeah. like, or we'll have a Black woman and have someone who's like made all these anti-Black comments, like literally right there. And it's not hidden in any way. And regarding like for me, the posts was like, I kind of felt similar to Jacob of like a numbness in processing it. And then Jenny's apology literally like lit me on fire. Like it was so pathetic, like mm-hmm. every aspect of it, like incredibly vague. Like I thought I was standing up against violence. Literally one of the posts was like, LOL, running over protesters with your car. Like literally. There is literally. And the literal, like how dumb does she think we are that she can say like, these were from 2020. Like, are you fucking like, for all intents and purposes, we're still in 2020. Like,
honestly,
yes.
All of our life is still like literally the aftermath of 2020. And like the idea that like during 2020, like it's pathetic enough when you have like the Rachel Kirkconnells mm-hmm. and like stuff of that of being like, it was before 2020. And like, now I know about that Black people exist. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But like literally she's like, that was 2020. Like there was no way for me to like know that that was bad. And like now it's literally like 2 days into 2022. And like, now I know, like it's
yeah.
pathetic.
And her like, entire storyline. Yeah. Sorry, literally. Not to cut you off.
No, Eddie, no.
But her entire storyline on this season has been feuding with the one Black woman on the cast.
Literally.
Which
literally.
Like, I did really want to bring up and point out that, you know, Jacob from the get-go has been like, what is going on with Jenny? Don't like her. Don't trust her. When Cameron came on, that was the episode that Jenny was like yelling at Mary, and Cameron brought up like, I feel for Mary. She's the only Black woman on the cast. Like, you know, what's going on here? And I just think that goes to show like, this is a great lesson for everybody, myself really included. I'm talking to myself that like, when the Black people around you tell you that they there's a vibe, that there's something up with mm-hmm. someone, believe them. Listen yeah. to them, you know, like, and that is palpable. Like the fact that you, Jacob, and Cameron were able to pick up on that through the screen based off of watching her actions towards Mary just goes to show that like, this is very real. And like, should be taken very seriously when someone says something like that.
Honestly, and I do want to point out, and in the aspect of giving people credit for doing the bare minimum of calling someone out, I would like to say, give Jen Shaw credit, and mm-hmm. having that statement come out and that being a jeopardy to her job is very sickening. Of hers, like, I want to put out a public statement condemning this, but I'm like, I may lose my job because the production has said, hey, don't say anything. We're going to hash it out on the show. We'll tell you when to produce a statement X, Y, and Z. And for her to just do that, I give her a lot of credit because we all know Jen Shaw's situation and what the situation can be. And
yeah, she needs the job more than
literally. And so the fact that she was
for that glam squad that went to Zion,
that went to literally. Don't make me shade her right now. Let me give her
dues. I already did.
I was about to go in, but I do want to give her that little bit of credit. And it's kind of like, oh, thank you for saying, you know, it was for her own, you know, she's very close to her husband and kids, but just knowing the position that she's in, like, she needs a job. And the fact that mm-hmm. she was willing to risk that, just even a tenth degree of the uncertainty, it made me respect her a lot more. And people were saying, like, oh, Jen's like doing this for like performance. That's why she's going so hard at Lisa Barlow, at Jenny. I'm like, this woman lays in bed with mm-hmm. a black man. Like, this, she lives this life. You know what I mean?
It's not like, oh, like, not like a new thing that she's bringing. Like, I mean, she really mm-hmm. went hard at Mary for like comments that Mary made.
Exactly.
In the first season. Like, it's not like she just like woke up one day and decided that she was like anti-racist. Like, literally she has been showing this. And just to, again, like throw Bravo under the bus more, like, literally, yes. like, let alone how like wrong it is that they are silencing them on speaking on this, but like literally just stupid. Like, how much worse does it make them look to have Jen Shaw say like, I'm getting in trouble for like speaking out against this? Like, it's just like tactically stupid, morally wrong, like, just like they fucked this, excuse me, I don't know what,
probably no, they did.
You can swear
this up, like, in every way, you know what I mean?
And this is the same Bravo that last year, I believe, or whenever the BLM movement was really heavy and the George Floyd situation, Candy Burris from Real Housewives of Atlanta, also Celebrity Big Brother season 2.
Also Icon.
Also Icon.
I mean, obviously, just no Icon. Scrub, of course.
Evie, yes.
I got you.
Yes. Bills. Candy led this initiative with Bravo, and they had a weeks long of content of basically black housewives and black families sitting down and talking to like the cameras, a whole 30-minute show. I think it went on for about 3 weeks of talking about their experiences being black in America. And so this is the same Bravo that's also silencing the women from condemning racist comments. So Bravo, 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 mm-hmm. Bravo, Bravo, please mm-hmm. do better. You know to do better. Like, and just address it in a way that's respectable. Like, you brought it up on Watch What Happens Live to Lisa Barlow in a very
for 3 seconds.
Literally, what did you think of the comment that Jenny made? Like, you're the head of the network. You watch all of these shows, Andy Cohen. And yeah, it's just very disheartening, especially. Yeah. Y'all are sick and twisted. Mm-hmm. And right now your actions are disgusting.
Literally.
So do better.
Thank you, Jacob.
Who's calling you a fraud?
Thank you, Jacob.
Who's calling who a fraud? Love you, baby. Bye. Wait, also, I do want to make another comment. Not about going a little bit off of this, but still into tea time a little bit. Mary Cosby, I think it's confirmed that she is not coming back next season. She was mm-hmm. also on Twitter Spaces for a long time. Kind of when we got done filming, recording this podcast last week, I believe, or Tuesday night, whatever night.
And it was Monday.
Monday, yes. And I texted mm-hmm. Maggie, hey, Maggie, zoom over to this Twitter space. Mary Cosby is on. Jenna was on as well. But I just want to give you guys some little bit of tea. She's good with Jen. She's good with Meredith. Meredith actually texted her while she was in the Twitter spaces, like, what are you doing? Which I love. I love Meredith and Mary's relationship. I especially loved it this episode. And I just want to say that Mary Cosby, you made a ton of ignorant remarks, and I'm disgusted at some of the things that you mm-hmm. did. Made for TV.
Yes. Yeah.
Incredible.
Literally.
Incredible.
Absolutely. Like, there is no better comedic actress in the Housewives franchise than Mary Cosby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't teach that timing.
And just to call out one like moment on the Jenny Mary thing, and then like we can obviously dive in. But I feel like, you know, when you're watching these shows, you obviously know it's an edited product, and you have to sometimes like see between the lines of like what's happening. And like, I feel like when the Jenny Mary stuff started, I really personally like didn't know where I stood. And the moment that like really stuck out to me was after they did like the inner tubing thing. And they were like, remember there was like a fight between Jenny and Mary there. And then they were like continued at the table. And Jenny was like talking like to Mary, but like directing it at like Lisa or like the other women. And Mary was literally like, look at me when you're talking to me. Like, what the hell? And
it
was,
Dang, that was
to me like, and I'm so glad, like, again, like you have to listen to Black women, Black people when they speak. And like Mary saying that, I was like, yeah, like literally what is happening right now? Like it was so like, she didn't see her as a person. Like she's not talking to her. She's talking about her in front of her. Mm-hmm. And like you have to like notice those types of moments aside from like what the person is saying to the camera. Like, yeah, it's been there the whole time. And like, it was obviously easier for some people to see.
Yeah. Also one quick thing. A lot of people on Twitter were talking about, oh, what Jenny said, it like Mary still said effed up stuff. Absolutely. Mary said effed up stuff. Like, yes. We're like not taking that away. But I think a lot of times we saw the different treatment. And even though this happened after the season, we still saw the different treatment that the women gave Mary versus how the world was on Mary's case versus how it was opposite with necessarily with Jenny. And so not saying, oh, Mary, you're completely like, no, Mary, you said some messed up things. Glad that you apologized and that y'all were working on a relationship. I don't know what the hell y'all were doing. But it's not, so we're not railing on Jenny because, oh, Mary's like, you know, the angel descending from God, from heaven. No, Mary says some effed up stuff, but also Jenny, you're disgusting. I just wanted to make that clear.
And the show very clearly put like the Mary's fucked up comments as part of the storyline of the show and like left this like Jenny stuff very much like under the radar, which again, like Mary deserved to be dragged for what she did, but like, so should Jenny, like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we begin now that I bomber of a situation is out of the way?
The table is set.
And also, sorry, one last comment. If this is how like going to be the first four episodes of the next season, I don't know how I can ask Jacob to cover this with me. Like,
no,
how can I ask you to sit through?
I don't
want to
watch.
Like,
I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch. I don't want to watch a racist get paid for being aired out on TV. No. And like people were saying, oh, like a lot of people were saying fire, which I agree. Fire her. You obviously are like you're paying this woman that believes in these things with a network that, you know, your audience, you know, the people that y'all employ X, Y, and Z is stop it. But also people were saying, oh, well, let the other women like rag on her on camera and then send her on her way. I don't want to see I don't want to see that. It's like, no, goodbye. Like, you're getting paid to say I'm sorry and give a half-ass, like, oh, she's seen the feedback that she got from this, from her apology. Now she's going to make it really nice. I don't want to see it. We know your true colors. We've seen your actions. Jenny, girl, bye.
Maybe she'll get an Abby Lee Miller wig, too. Maybe she'll get that
fingers
wig
crossed. And see what fingers she crossed. But yeah, I'm not like oh, I can't wait to see the races get their ass handed to I don't want to see anything dealing with that
and like get their asses handed to them by like these women. Like, it's just like, this is not what we need. Like
Whitney Rose, Whitney Rose is gonna get her.
Like to have Lisa Barlow say like lukewarm comments to like cover her ass like over and over again. Like, cool. Like,
literally. Okay, that was a good one.
So, the table is set. We open on Meredith's iconic line. Who's calling who a fraud? Love you, baby. Bye.
Incredible.
What did you think of this, Evie? At the end of last episode, moving into this, what did you think?
Well, I loved it. I mean, I find it so annoying how Meredith is always like trying to leave. So I like forgot. I like, even though I know that like it had been teased so many times that she was going to say this, I like forgot about that in the moment when this was happening. I was like, oh, Meredith's so annoying. She's just going to leave. And then not only does she not leave, she turns around and like busts out that iconic freaking line. It was incredible. It was incredible. Like, a moment.
It definitely was. It's like those type of moments for me that like I've always liked Meredith from the beginning. You can't really catch me saying that many negative things about Meredith because I always really liked her. She kind of annoyed me at certain points, but I've been waiting for that statement since the beginning, and I got it and I savored it, and it was amazing. The delivery, the door slamming, and the fact that she still stood at the door laughing and giggling at Jen when Jen was sitting at the table
laughing.
And yes. Jen got the Dodo music. Jen, Bravo yeah. gave Jen the Dodo music. It was iconic. Heather was saying, you know, I was in this van ride from hell, which led to the dinner table of horrors, which is a beautiful display of storming outs and storming backs, which like,
I true. Love this idea exactly of storming backs. Like, I've never heard that before. I'm taking that.
Storming back. But it was like, I live like Meredith was the MVP for me last week. And Meredith was the MVP for me this week. Like Meredith, when she is engaged, homegirl is engaged and earning every bit of that check. And I'm here for it. And the fact that she came back to the table and was like, she never backed down from Jen, which we've seen a lot of these women back down from Jen. A lot of these women back down from Jen. And the fact that she didn't, the fact that she told Jen, hey, stop yelling at me. And Jen was like, okay, I'm sorry. And then talked to her in a normal voice. I was like, please put her in her place.
She stopped yelling at her and then turned on Jenny because she got embarrassed because Meredith was just like, shut up about the PI thing. I know what you did. And Jen was like, Jenny, like basically had nowhere else to go. Oh my gosh. And okay. We need to get into this because Evie, I know that you listened to the pod. So you heard about the Uber driver situation.
Oh my God. I was dying. I was like, this is journalism occurring in my ears right now. Okay, yes. Oh my God.
Can we talk about Whitney in her confessional bringing up that she thinks that what Meredith is referring to, because Meredith's like, oh, I'm too nice to bring up what I know about you, Jennifer Shaw. And so Whitney is in her confessional and she says that Meredith thinks that Jen was hooking up with the same guy that she was seeing when her and Seth were separated. And
like, what? That was so crazy. But I have to say, the flashback did not really validate that statement, like in any way, shape, or form, like at all. So I do feel like that was Whitney. I mean, I'm not saying that that's not at all possible, but I definitely feel like Whitney just tried to like insert that as a storyline when it maybe wasn't. But I died hearing that.
No. Evie, I completely agree with you because, and I don't even think Whitney phrased it in a way of, oh, did you and Jen sleep with the same person? And she said it, oh, Jen was trying to, I forgot even what she said, but that doesn't matter. I completely agree with you with the flashback. It didn't support the statement. Did I find it very fascinating? Because yeah, I want to know, because like typically, you know, some people like have types and I feel like Jen and Meredith personality wise, look wise are completely different. And so
right. Are Jen Shaw and Meredith Marks Eskimo sisters? We must know. We must know.
If they're, oh man. But the weird thing, okay, the thing that Meredith said in the flashback was like, Jennifer does have disgusting ways of like getting dirt on us or something, which like, let's just do the fanfic that Jen literally hooks up with Meredith's boyfriend, not to screw her over, but to get dirt on her, like in like pillow talk with Meredith's lover. Like, am I here for it? Yes.
But wait, was this guy the guy that she went to go see?
When oh my God, that Uber story.
Who the Uber driver? She tried to get the Uber driver to lie to Coach Shaw about.
Oh, incredible! God, that's messy. Like, who's really calling?
Doesn't
Uber
she bless like, that Uber driver? God bless that Uber driver.
This is the type of like in public, like criminal / shady behavior that she is like known for. It's like you hear that story, and you're like, "There's no way Jen Shaw, like famous person, would do that." But it's like literally, of course she would. Like.
Allegedly. She defrauded the elderly.
Allegedly.
By the way, another iconic Meredith line. I'm just going to go call the CIA.
No. And she said it several times. She said it several times during this. I was literally dying every. Meredith Marks, thank you. Thank you. And Maggie, you're kind of giving me a little Meredith with the hair down and just like the shape of it. Kind of giving me a little Meredith a little bit. I do stand. Meredith is probably the only person on this cast, which last week I gave her my card, my stand card. And so when anyone goes against her, I'm just going to say I'm going to be biased about it. Because I have given Meredith my stand card. And so she's off the show. I can't be unbiased, honestly. But yeah, that was hilarious. Let me go call it is Meredith. Oh, I'm so proud of her. I think that's what it is. I'm so proud of her.
Totally. And when they started accusing her, like in this scene, when Whitney was like, I have to know, with her eyes glossed over, literally her eyes glossed over as though she's just taken three smokes out of her vape. She's like, I have to know if you called the FBI on Jen. Like, did you tell them? Did you know? And Meredith was like, oh, and just busted out laughing. And she was like, go call the FBI. They'll tell you. Yeah. Like, what?
Who, I do.
What do you call when you call the FBI?
The whole 911?
Hey, FBI.
Sorry, Abby.
I stopped at you. I mean, the whole premise of Whitney, like the entire, and many of the women in this episode was, we need to solve the mystery of why these women were not on a bus. Like, this is like an actual
mystery. They don't like you.
It's like, this is not a thing. And every time they just like would do these accusations and Meredith would just literally laugh in their face. Like, it was literally, she handled that because it's literally freaking laughable. Like, you weren't there, so you called that. You're like, what?
And it's like, yo, I didn't feel like, and yeah, Meredith had gave her reasoning in the episode saying, oh, I felt so much tension and this dinner table was going to be on the bus. So I don't want that. I didn't want that for 8 hours straight where I could not leave the situation. Because if I'm getting I'm a more confrontational person than I think Meredith is. So I probably would salivate when that type of moment happens and really like milk it. But if I'm her, I'm just like, I'm disengaging because it's like annoying, especially with people who you thought were your friends, especially if you're feeling tension from a friendship of 10 years who Lisa Barlow. I just want to go ahead and say this. I know I said it earlier, but I don't like Lisa. I don't like Lisa. It's going to happen next week with the clip that we saw. And that pissed me off.
When so she says that she's a fucking whore who slept with half of New York City.
Yeah, that pissed me because if it's true, congrats, Meredith. But like, who says that of a friendship of 10 years? Like, and you're mad. Oh, you've been
on a hot mic.
Oh, Maggie, don't get me mad. Don't get me mad.
She knows she's mic'd.
Yes.
No question.
Yeah. So anytime I reference Lisa, I may have a at the end of it just so you aren't confused. But I forgot what we were talking about. I just went on that. I forgot what we were talking about. But yeah, Lisa Barlow.
The bus. I feel like would it be really miserable to be on the bus? Of course. But like as a tactical decision, like they did just like twice now allow like 8 hours of like conversation behind their back. And so, like, the kind of, like, survivor instinct in me is, like, you can't leave camp if, like, the majority is there. And I do feel like Meredith and Mary have made that tactical error, like, multiple times this season where they just allow everyone to stay back at camp and devise a blindside against them. And we're seeing it, like...
Wait, I love that.
That's iconic. I mean, that's so funny. Know,
because it's so true. Because they've been blindsided every time they have not been in that group setting and they got back in the, like, they've been like, oh, wait, they've been screamed at. It's so true. It's literally true.
They're out, like, catching fish on, like, a tribal day. Like, what are you doing?
Wait, that's iconic. Oh, that comparison. They've been blindsided every time. Like, honestly, next season, Meredith, please get on that bus. Even if it's 10 hours, please.
And then they allow the information. Like, then we have this, like, really. Oh, wait. My
headphones died. Oh, did they?
Yeah. They were like, we can't handle this. So then we had that really weird cut where, like, Lisa Meredith like wakes up and there's like all this like info that Lisa like told her. And like when you're not there to hear the conversation yourself, you have to take like Lisa Barlow's like word for it, which is not going to be accurate. Oh, and these are the problems, you know?
TBH, I'm with you with that. And Lisa tried to cover her ass completely with that statement, but yeah.
I mean, of course.
What even happened there? Okay, so before they go to bed, like, let's get into that. But I do just need to point out that Whitney wasted, like I said, with her eyes glossed over, looks at Lisa and says, "We're on the same team. We're all wives and mothers." Like, huh?
Ew.
Wild Rose Beauty Whitney Rose. I don't even know.
TBH, wait.
Lisa was like, "We're all friends, Whitney."
Yeah. I do want to comment on the moment that happened after, you know, the ladies go in and Meredith went in earlier because she was disengaging. She came back out, she disengaged, then engaged, then disengaged, then engaged, then disengaged for the night. And we saw her talk to Brooks on the phone, which I thought was a hilarious conversation because Brooks, in my mind, said what I've been thinking the entire time and being like, well, who gives a fuck if she was alleged of defrauding people? Like, who cares if you turn her in? Like, this is what she was alleged doing. Like, who cares? Which I was like, true. It's just like, who honestly gives a damn? Like, she did. The FBI, CIA, Homeland Security came with clankety clank handcuffs ready to arrest your ass for doing X, Y, and Z. They were going to find you either way.
I will say that was the first time I thought maybe Meredith did call the FBI. It was just a weird reaction. Like if I told someone in my family, like, or like a close person to me that someone accused me of calling the FBI, I just don't think that the response would be like, "So what if you did? Who cares if you did?"
Yes, but it's Brooks Marks who's dying to be a bigger storyline on the show. I'm sure he was like, he's like, if it's on speaker and I say this loud enough, maybe Jen will hear and fight with me again. You know?
He also did have the iconic line, like, "I just feel so bad for the husbands." Like, the real victims here are the husbands who sent, quote unquote, sent their wives on this trip, like, which is clearly what totally happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Brooksy. Yeah, he's trying really hard. Meredith calling him, trying to make him part of the show. Very transparent.
Yeah.
I'm anti-Brooks in general.
Oh, are you?
Yes. I mean, I didn't deserve like whatever Twitter things Jen was coming for, but I forget which side y'all were on in this, but like he did go out of his way to be on the show. And like when you're going to be on the show, like as I've been on reality TV, I know it, like, you know what it comes with, you know? And like that doesn't make it okay, but it's just like he wanted to be a character on the show. Should Jen be participating in hate against him? Of course not. Like that's disgusting. But like, do you know that like if you put yourself on reality TV, people are gonna like, some people are not gonna like you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And TBH.
Also, Evie, like, I think that we both fell like on the side of like Jen is disgusting for like going after a child, but also like he did literally not go to NYU for his first semester so he could be on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So like,
right. And I think like her, like maybe fighting with him in the show is like, I honestly think totally fair game. Again, he wanted to be a character on the show. Mm. Definitely like liking like homophobic tweets against him or anything like that is obviously horrible. And like participating in any sort of like online harassment or anything is horrible. But like within the like he's a character on the show. Like, I, you know, if he wants to be part of it, he's part of it, you know?
That's what we had Bryce Isaiah on early on, and that's what his stance was,
boy,
too.
Yes.
Baby boy, that's what his stance was, too. Yeah.
Yeah, he wants amazing. It, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so we get to this scene, which is hilarious. So it's the morning, they're all in the kitchen. Whitney is, like, trying to talk about cooking huevos rancheros. And Meredith comes bolting into the kitchen with a cameraman literally sprinting behind her. And she's in these hot pink silk pajamas with her sunglasses on. And she literally is like, in her confessional, she's like, "Lisa came into my room at 3 a.m. and told me that
all of the women had speculated on the bus that I was lying about my father's memorial because I didn't want to ride with them and that I called the FBI.
It's so good, Maggie. It is so good.
Incredible.
Thank you. So she comes in and she's like, if you talk about my family, I will leave. And literally just starts like screaming out of nowhere. And everybody is just like, open mouth in the kitchen. It's iconic.
It was scary. It was like, I would have been like, especially like bright eyed and bushy tail, just got out of bed, like with hair messed up, Whitney grabbing a thing of water. Like I would have been like, why? Like Meredith was like irate at this moment. And honestly, with the things that she understood that Lisa said to her, I would have been pissed off too. Like y'all are like saying, oh, I'm faking a memorial for my father who recently passed away because I didn't want to sit on a bus with y'all because y'all think I turned in Jennifer Shaw. Baby girl.
Y'all are stupid.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if she'd been on the bus, no one would have said No, this was weird. Do you think that they just like missed this conversation like in the video? Like how did they not have that on camera? Like that was just a really weird like style.
We've seen Lisa because I feel like even their last trip, Lisa Barlow went into Heather was mad
Mary's
because
room.
Lisa Mary's room, yes, and it wasn't on camera. And so I know with Atlanta Housewives, I just know a lot about Atlanta Housewives. They'll say, okay, where camera's done, they'll have like a closing set and then everybody will quote unquote go to sleep or go in the rooms and then the camera crew will just come back in the morning. And so I'm guessing it was
Lisa from the shadows. Get her off camera.
Literally just to like save her own ass, just to like, because Whitney even said it very specifically in this thing. She was like, Lisa's trying to get ahead of the storyline just so she won't look
bad. And
I'm like, honestly,
that is exactly what she does. And like, look, I have revoked my stand card from Lisa based off of everything that happened this week. Ah! She really disappointed me. No, like she really disappointed me, like straight up. Like I do better, Lisa Barlow. But if you guys don't agree that Lisa on a season of Celebrity Big Brother would be iconic because she would be trying to do it all until it all came crashing down because she is so transparent. Like Lisa cannot help herself. She can't help herself.
She literally thinks she's a strategic genius.
Oh,
and repeatedly, like so bad at it. Like, excuse me, this is staged. This is all staged. like, no, she's horrible. And she gets, I feel like with this whole like situation, this whole season, she just like bit off more than she could chew. Mm-hmm. Like she thought, she's like, Jen has no friends right now.
Yes.
I'm going to come in here and I'm going to be her friend and I'm going to like heal her and I'm going to like take her under my wing and then I'll have Jen and I'll still have everyone else and I'll be like, ha 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 ha. And it's like completely blue in her face. Everyone's mad at her. No one trusts her. She like ruined her relationship with Meredith. And now Jen knows she's like not her real friend. Like it's just like she really got greedy and it really has come back to bite her and she deserves it.
I mean, 10 out of 10 deserves it. And I'm so happy that she's getting it. And the fact that Jen, Meredith, seemingly so made up the night before when they gave each other a hug. And I felt as though it was very genuine, not saying they're going to be best friends or not saying, you know, Jen is going to be invited to Seth's next birthday party. But I do think this is like a movement in the right direction for their relationship. And they both followed each other back on Instagram. So that's something to say.
They did?
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It is.
Wow. Yeah. That is shocking.
And Meredith commented under Jennifer Shaw. When you talk about Jennifer Shaw and Meredith, you have to pronunciate Jen Shaw's whole
name, Jennifer Shaw.
Mm-hmm. Meredith commented under one of her posts. I think it was the public statement about Jenny's actions. Mm-hmm. Meredith commented under it. So season three, there could be something, you know, brewing.
Rekindling.
So, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, so like basically Meredith comes out and screams at everybody and then goes back in her room. And Mary is like walking around, she's like, what happened? What's going on? And Jenny is like turns around to like say something and Mary was like, no, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. And Heather is like, huh?
Why can't you be nice?
Yeah, Mary is like, I don't care about that. I only care about what matters. Heather's like, Jenny matters.
No, yeah. Learn. No, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. No. Exactly.
I mean, go for it, Mary. You go. No, you tell her.
But this, this Mary during Meredith, you know, being irate and being mad and screaming across the house. This is why I've oftentimes said I love the Mary and Meredith relationship, because even Meredith, you know, she stops screaming out in the public. Then she goes to her room and talks to Lisa and screams because what they're and what Meredith's problem was that y'all are bringing her father and alluding to the fact that, oh, she lied about this because she didn't want to sit on the bus. And honestly, I believe that Lisa Barlow put it that way to her. And then Lisa Barlow in her confession was like, oh, Meredith's trying to change it around. Like, Lisa, like, that's what y'all have said on that bus. Y'all were like, well, what was the truth? We don't really know anything. What's the actual memorial? Like, what was going on? So y'all were saying what Meredith was screaming about. So don't try to like hide from it now.
Sorry, Jacob, just to like point that out. Like, I don't even think though that they were like, for sure, she lied about the memorial. They were just like saying stuff. Like, that's the kind of thing that like, that's like the kind of thing that she shouldn't even remember. Like, that did not have to be brought up to Meredith. Yeah, they were being shady, but like, nobody believed that.
And the fact that Lisa Barlow had to go and cover her ass of some sort at 3 a.m. in the morning just says something. And the fact that they were cooking, I forgot what Winnie was cooking, then Mary went to get a plate and said, I'm going to bring it to Meredith. My heart was like, oh, I love these two. And then that moment, Lisa, like, recreated for us.
Lisa, okay, but so Mary walks in and she's like, I have an omelet for you. And Mary's like, thank you, Mary, but I'm sick right now. I can't eat. And Lisa's like, oh, yeah, I don't have an appetite either. Mary, can I please finish my conversation with Meredith? And Mary was like, oh, okay. And she stood in the doorway for like 30 seconds. Just literally. Like,
I loved
she
it.
She ate a bite. She ate a bite. She ate another bite.
Like, just no, like, social awareness whatsoever. But, like, Lisa Barlow did the big brother thing of, like, can I just finish my conversation? I was like, are you talking to the HOH?
No, literally. In Lisa's mindset, I do believe that, like, she holds Meredith to that HOH stand, like, to that standpoint of, like, honestly, I think it's, like, that big sister type of thing. Not anymore, but I think it's definitely there.
And this is where her transparent, it's like her stories. It's like, if you think about them for like 1 second, you're like, okay, Lisa, thanks. And then you think about them for 2 seconds and you're like, wait, so everyone on the bus, like, what were you doing? Like,
I mean, yes.
You? And like, I forgot to say, I also love Real Housewives of New Jersey, and something that like they're always throwing down, like Teresa, I mean, she's crazy, but like something literally. She's always
iconic doing, though.
Iconic, my favorite, iconic. But something that she's always doing is like, if anyone tells her a story like that, she's always like, and did you stand up for me? Like, where were you? You're my sister-in-law. What were you doing? Like, and that's like, Meredith put that together. It's like, oh, everyone was talking about on the bus. Lisa was on the bus and therefore is part of everyone. Like,
I mean, you can see that being true because she said, oh, when she said it, then she went, she was like, okay. And she heard what Lisa was saying. And then when she woke up, she was like, wait, something's not sitting right with me about this.
Literally.
I love that. I love that. I love that. And I love that Meredith gave like Lisa her ass in that moment. And Lisa was kind of just like groveling. It's like, and then her confession, I feel like very playing the victim of like, what's going on? Meredith's turning this against me. No, you ran your mouth. Honestly, for no good reason, because if the clip was shown back, it wasn't that bad of a clip. It was like, oh, like, where was she at that time?
That's what I'm saying.
But if we see next week, they're going to continue it, because we saw the conversation, a preview of her and Heather, Lisa and Heather, kind of talking about Meredith's, you know, dad's memorial, which is like, that's sickening. But yeah.
It's low. It's really low for them to go there.
They should really be talking about why Meredith was just in the bathtub the whole time. No. That was the weird thing. Like, it wasn't that she wasn't on the bus. It's that she was stone-faced in the freaking bathtub.
Well, she was stoned something. She was stoned something in the bathtub.
Evie, I'm dying. That needs to be a topic of conversation. Why was she there when y'all were on the phone and then when y'all got in there? Like, why was it so long, honestly?
Literally.
He was probably
the 4-hour bath.
Literally the 4-hour bath. And all the, oh, just imagine the dirty water.
Oh, it's lukewarm at that point.
Oh, well, you know, I guess it depends on what you're into.
If she's into lukewarm bath, it definitely decreases her in my
estimation. Well, she's into Seth. So
like, oh, thank you for bringing that back, because I know that like we've been talking for so long about like the beginning, but I just have to tell you how much I hate Seth. Seth has to be one of the most disgusting housewife husbands that has ever existed. Yeah. Like, he literally talked about motorboating the mountains. Like, let alone all his comments about actual human women. Like, he's fucking disgusting.
No, this is literally Maggie. Every time Seth is brought up, like, ew, like, he's literally a frat boy.
He gives me the ick to like such a high level.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, the boob cake. Like, what else is there to say about the boob cake?
And all the clips that they showed in the explanation.
It was numerous ones.
And like, honestly, like comparison to last season, obviously I know he was like in a bad place in his marriage, mm-hmm. or whatever, but like, it feels to me like he's on something this season. I mean, allegedly, but like the energy he's bringing to all this is so
heavy. Well, he is married to Meredith, who, like, I mean,
come and on. Also, like, what is she doing? She's so like together, and then he's like, ah, "I'm gonna motorboat that view," and she's like, ah.
Like, "Who she is?" She's like, "Oh, honey."
Wait, Abby, could you do that again?
You're gonna motorboat the mountain. I've seen this man like motorboat multiple times on a show about like badass women, and it's
effective. Oh, Sethy boy, get it together. Oh my god.
Okay.
Yuck.
So
I hope she hooked up with Happy Mart.
No, I do too.
Yeah. No, she deserves it, honestly. So basically this next part is just, they like go into the mountains, they go on these ATVs. I don't really have anything to say about it other than Mary was going down the canyon and she got the Dodo music and she was like, you know, I love this thing. I love being out in nature. It's very healing to me. I just wish I didn't have to look at Heather's nipples. And then I cut to Heather's nipples, like literally looking like little baby bottles through her sports bra.
Not baby.
Someone called Seth.
There's someone called Seth. We know which episode Seth watched of the season.
Oh my lord. Oh,
that was so funny.
Okay. So then basically they come back from this. They get back late. Like, Jenny was like, I made reservations for us for dinner, but like we missed it because this place closes at 9:30. So I'm guessing they got back at like 10 p.m. or something.
Yeah,
I
had to.
And
be.
Then they all get ready and they say they're going to the club, but it's just their basement. But we need to talk about the fact that Jen Shaw, whose mother liquidated her assets.
Say it again. Oh, say it again.
Her home.
Say it again.
Has a glam squad with her doing her hair and makeup. Make it make sense to me.
Oh, Maggie, I can't, because common sense is not common. Literally. And we've seen, so I want to reference this action back to a housewife in Beverly Hills, Erica Jane, who just went through so much legal trauma. And this past season of Beverly Hills, and Erica Jane was always the rich housewife that brought glam and stylists everywhere she went, on cash trips out of the country, like everywhere. Once she was going through this drama, you could tell and you could see that she was doing everything herself. And I just feel as though Jen Shaw, after the arrest, we have saw a different type of Jen Shaw. And I think this was completely ignorant. To like, this was completely like, what are you doing? And the fact that you want to like, oh yeah, I still, you know, I have glam and stuff like that helping me get together. Like, Jen, this is why you know what was going on. You know, like the things that y'all have shown, you know, the climate that the case is in, you know, y'all are going to a smaller house. Your mom just came to you and liquidated her home. Like, don't be stupid. Like, save every bit of coins that you can and do your own makeup, or get Whitney or someone else to do your makeup. Like, that scene was just like, so it was like, Jen, really? As I was starting to like, Jen, you're not okay, but like, I can stand you, but like, you do some stupid shit like this, and I'm like, really? Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I completely agree. And it was like, it wasn't like she said that like in the confessional also, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like joke in the moment to her friends. It was like, I've had time to like think about this and decide, like, I'm going to joke about it. Like,
literally.
And it just, yeah, it is gross. Like I said, so yeah, I watched the Erica Jane stuff. And I also, like I said, I watched all the Teresa Giudice.
Oh yes.
Which is also crazy. And I just like the way that Jen handles it is just so bad. Like literally just from like a PR perspective, like Teresa, like, again, like she has horrible moments. Also, I honestly think, side note, Real Housewives of New Jersey, people should watch it. I think that's
Oh, people should. Absolutely. Yeah.
But like Teresa, I think, did a really, really good job of being sympathetic in that time. And like, obviously she has like had four daughters and it was like kind of her husband's fault. And like, who even knows if that's true, but I believed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and like,
I do too.
Jen Shah, I don't believe it. Like, you know, like, like, yeah.
She brought glam. She defrauded those old people.
Literally.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
I mean, we know what Stewart, he copped the plea. So it's not looking that good for Jen Shah. Jennifer Shah come March.
That is not good.
Not good at all. And March is my birthday month. So I don't know what the comparison is for, but we'll see. It could be something. But
so they all get, so they're all ready. I mean, Jen looks gorgeous, but she had glam with her. I love Mary's natural hair. I said it before, I'll say it again. I love her with her dark hair. It's gorgeous. But they basically, so Lisa invites all of them to her Vita Tequila event, which we know will be the next big group scene, which is probably where Meredith is stomping through the crowd going, does anyone want me to tell you about the people that they've slept with their husband?
Oh, true.
So Mary apologizes to Jenny, but then they basically, this was so important. So Mary apologizes to Jenny and Jenny has this confessional where she's like, you know, I do have anger issues. I went to anger management for a year. One night I was so mad at Dewey that I threw stuff at him and I broke his ribs. Huh?
There should have been a trigger warning for just like that, this episode and that comment. Like,
and frankly, again, bravo, bravo, bravo. Like, yes. Are you freaking kidding me? This is a show based on like getting people drunk and making them fight. And literally. This woman has literally like assaulted her husband. Like,
bravo, what? Bravo, bravo, please. Like I was, and she didn't say it in a way of, she exactly. said it in a sickening way where I'm like, are you proud? Like, are you trying to boast about like, oh,
like she thought, you know, it was bad.
She thought it was cool or some shit like that. I'm like, no, baby girl. That's like, no. Like, and you're like, having her literally like, yeah. And the fact that you're having her around like these women, and not saying people can't like, you know, change, but that's the fact that she's like, and in my mind, she didn't say it in a way of, oh, like, I'm like finally changed. Like, I'm in a very sympathetic, in a sympathetic way. She just said it in a very cool, like, oh, yeah, I did this in my life. Yeah. And it was just very like, off color. Like,
these things are the very obvious red flags that you should not be on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, on a common sense, on a PR. Again, like, imagine if she hurt someone and then it came out that this had happened and Bravo knew about it or like should have known about it. Like, it's just like so stupid on their part and unsafe and wrong. And like,
it's a liability. Definitely is. And yeah. And I mean, we see, I think this is going to be next week or whenever the event happens where she throws a glass at Mary Cosby.
Jesus.
She does?
You didn't see that clip?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
No, I didn't see that.
Yes. It's preview for the mid-season trailer. It was like, oh, she was running up and talking to Mary. Mary was standing like this. I guess they probably just got into an argument. Mary moved away. She came over, said some other things to Mary, and then threw the glass. Yeah. It like, I think it hit Mary's foot or like the ground right by Mary. But yeah. And so it's not a very cute looking. I'm looking forward to like, what's the cause of that? What's happening? And even when I first saw it, we mentioned it on the pod, but even when I first saw it, it's not a good looking, especially in light of everything that's recently come out. Oh, she's going to get her
Absolutely
ass.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm.
Literally. But.
So, okay. So the last thing that happens in this episode is they all
I'm so sorry. Can I just say one other thing about. Just to throw Lisa Barlow under the bus a tiny bit more. Another hilariously transparent Lisa Barlow moment. Oh, have I never invited you to a meeting before? Oh, that's so. Oh, I forgot. That's so weird.
We've come such a long way, Whitney. We've come such a long way. Oh my god!
Like not not invited you to any of those. That's like so weird.
They're on the same team now. They're on the same team now. It's so funny.
They're wives and mothers.
Literally.
And ambassadors of life or something? Yes. Say something crazy. Like, oh, drunk Whitney.
Oh, my.
So basically the last thing is just they get like incredibly wasted.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
To the point that like they're drinking wine out of, I don't know the proper word for this. Evie, I'm sure you
I think PhD. They said it was a trifle dish.
Yes.
That, like, yeah, okay, you would put like a whole ass dessert.
Like pudding in. Yeah, yeah. Like a pudding or something like that. But they're like literally drinking wine out of that. Like in the morning, there's a full part of Jenshaw's hair, you know, her stunt hair tied around the pool or the pool bar. And they all slept together in Lisa's room, which was really wild. So Whitney and Jen slept in the same bed and Lisa and Meredith slept in the same bed, all in Lisa's room, which like goes to show like, okay, maybe they're getting along. Like maybe this is a real reconciliation. And then we get the clip from next week.
Which, when I watched it, it pissed me off. Because I go hard for people that I ride for. Like, you can't say anything about... You can say stuff about Lisa Vanderpump because she's not on anymore and I really don't like her that much. Or I like her, but, like, she's off. Kenya Moore, you can't say anything around. And Meredith Marks is starting to become that for me for Salt Lake City. And the fact that whatever comes up, she goes into that restroom, hot mic'd, and said... I fucking hate Meredith and she's a fucking whore that slept with a whole New York. New York, a big place. So kudos to you, Meredith. If allegedly, if that happened, but like, that's so like, especially if you're friends for 10 years and I don't give a damn if like, that's like, it was like, that's what really pissed me. I mean, of course her lackluster of a statement with Jenny, but when I saw that, I was like, homegirl. And then she addressed it on Watch What Happens Live. And she, someone, a caller said, because, you know, Meredith and Lisa's birthdays are a day apart. And for Lisa's birthday, Meredith made a birthday post on her Instagram story. A caller called up and said, how do you feel about, or do you know why Meredith deleted the birthday post that she made of you? And Lisa said, well, it's probably going to have to do with the comment that I made in next week's episode that I was to my limit and I am not the proudest of it. So I'm glad that you're not the proudest of it. And she said that she was to her limit at that point. But if you're to your limit for a friendship of 10 years and y'all were just best friends the other night and you're going to go in your restroom and say that shit, oh, girl, I don't want you to be my friend ever again.
Friends of 10 years, you would never catch me saying anything even remotely close. Never. My friends of 10 years.
Four?
And fully, I do not believe that she did not know that she was mic'd. Like, literally, like, this isn't the Big Brother house where there's cameras everywhere all the time. Like, you know when you're mic'd and know when you're not. And Lisa Barlow thinks she can pretend that, like, oh, it was a hot mic. It's like, no, come on.
Like, Jen Shaw knew that she was mic'd when she got that phone call, traumatizing phone call. Yeah. And she told Whitney, can you unmic me? Because I know you know that you're mic'd. You feel that mic, you know what I mean? And yeah, Lisa Barlow, there's no coming back. When Meredith forgives you, I forgive you. Point blank in the period. So if you can make that happen.
This is basically talking about her family. You know? I was like, I'm going to go for it, but I don't know.
No, you crushed it.
No, that was good. That was funny.
But truly, like, this is the kind of thing that it's more than just like, did you call the FBI, which is like obviously like BS or like whatever the dumb fights are. Like, this is like a reputation. Like, already I'm thinking like, good for you, Meredith. Like, you know, it has a sense of like, it does like seep into your impression of her. So it's like,
can you imagine if Meredith did call the FBI on Jen and slept with half of New York?
Oh,
icon, legend, the moment.
And it was all because Jen slept with her boyfriend.
She's
married to Seth. So like, she can do whatever she wants.
I love that. She's married to Seth. So, I mean, go have your fun. Go have your fun.
Literally.
That's so funny.
Seth. Come on.
Yeah. Allegedly. Yeah.
Okay, so I think that's all we have for this week. We have, you know, some very important business to get to with you, Evie, though, because everybody who comes on the show, we ask them to bring their catchphrases, their housewife catchphrases.
Okay.
Do you have one for us?
The extra person that I am, I have two because I couldn't decide. And I
yeah, even better.
Okay, one is like survivor and one is like gay. Which would perfect. You prefer first?
Give me gay
survivor first. Gay.
Okay.
I want gay first.
Yeah. I wanted to save. I wanted to save gay for last, like best for last.
We can save gay for last. You can do survivor first.
Okay. Okay.
Wait, Evie, you got it. I need to see total transformation right now, and I need it to be delivered with. All right, let's go.
Okay. I may be cute and small, but this Yasa turtle snaps.
Oh!
Hey. Oh! I literally almost said also who can forget the iconic moment with the turtles in your intro. Like I almost said it. So
you should have.
You get it, like wait, snapping turtle.
Wait, that was good.
Absolutely.
That was good.
That was amazing. Yeah.
Okay. That's one. Okay. Now my other catchphrase.
Let's go.
For when, you know, I'm the first like queer. There needs to be the time is now 2022. We need a housewife who is like with a woman or like what, like it's time.
Miami.
Miami.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I'm gonna have to start watching Miami now. It's fun. Okay, great.
She was with a man, and then she's been with her wife for about like 15, 20 years or something like that. But yeah,
That makes me so happy. How did it's buried though? It's hiding from me. Okay,
it's on Peacock. Miami only comes on Peacock. Real Housewives of Miami.
Okay, I have Peacock. Yeah. I'm in. Okay,
try and watch it. Yeah.
Thank you. See, I'm watching it because there's a queer character.
And, and you only need to watch the most latest season because Miami went off after three seasons and it just got back. So Miami went off like 2010, 2015, something like that. And they just brought it back. So you don't need a thorough backstory about it.
Okay.
Just watch the latest season that's kind of just premiered and you'll be like, because, you know, they have a ton of new people. So you don't need to watch from season one.
Incredible. I probably will watch from season one anyway, but
just to get the backstory.
Are you a completionist, Dr. Jago?
I really am. I also just like need to know the whole story. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like, yeah. Okay. Here's my other catchphrase. Okay. I work hard every day because this rainbow needs a pot of gold.
That's cute. Oh. Wait. Okay, everyone, tweet which one you like best. Tweet which one you like best. They were both amazing.
You can tweet at me like turtle or a rainbow flag.
Rainbow.
Hashtag, whatever the hashtag is for the show. It'll be great.
Yes. I love that.
Evie, thank you so much for joining us. This was literally so fun. Sorry that you had to come on like the one episode where we like heavily discussed racism amongst the cast members. But you know,
that's real life. This is the Real Housewives, you know. So, but truly, it was so fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you for inviting me.
You were absolutely amazing. Where can people find you if they want to check in with you after you know, hearing this pod?
Yes, please hit me up on Instagram and TikTok. I'm at Evie Jag, J-A-G, E-V-V-I-E-J-A-G. And Twitter, I think it's at Evie Jagoda, but I'm confident you'll find me. Little promotion here in honor of Valentine's Day. My cameos are 25% off right now, and I absolutely love doing cameos. So please, like, it's so fun. So
I love that. I was about to plug your cameo because I just saw the post right before we start recording. So I was like, don't forget your cameo. Yeah.
Thank you. It's literally so fun because it's like I actually get to like focus on like one person and send them like mine are long. Don't expect 30 seconds. It's like this is like 3 to 7 minutes. Like
this
is personal.
You're a good cameoer. Okay.
Literally, I had COVID and the only work I was doing was my cameo. So don't tell my boss.
We love that.
Jacob, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter or Instagram at JacobJ_Jones. Also, if you want to hear about my life, who I'm dating, you can check out my Taryn Show interview on the Wrap Up feeds. It was very fun, very insightful. Well, not insightful. I talked. I learned some stuff.
It was insightful for me.
Oh, it was?
It was insightful for me. Yeah. I feel like I learned so much about you.
Yeah, you just hear a little backstory about me. I'm very open. So, and received a lot of great feedback from it. And just like people telling me, oh, you've helped me like in this situation. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Maggie, where can people find you?
Yes, people can find me on TikTok and Instagram at @MLMorgan_. And you can find me on Twitter at _MLMorgan. But, you know, don't tell anybody else who watches reality TV. Only you guys are allowed to follow me on Twitter because it's a scary, scary place. I mean, how are you doing on Twitter? Are people nice to you on Twitter?
You know, the key with all social media, it's all about the ratio, you know, and that's hard to do. And like, honestly, I recommend like, yeah, whatever. You just have to think about it. For every one bad thing, there's so many likes. So honestly, in general, Twitter has actually been great to me. The only time I can never look at Twitter is like right after a Survivor episode airs. That is the worst time. But the now time, like the only people that are paying attention to me now are people that like me. So you know what I mean?
Amazing.
Like, yeah.
I love that.
I love that.
I get a lot of like great, like it's really cool. Like what you said, Jacob, just like the more open you are often, like you just, you receive a lot back. So I really do appreciate everyone that sends me nice stuff.
And your TikToks are funny. I audibly laughed at recently. Literally.
Also, low-key famous. You and Shan both are TikTok famous.
Honestly.
Yeah. You know.
It was the one about you wanting to go on Survivor, start a Woman's Alliance. I was dying. It was so funny, so classic.
Thank you, because that one was technically challenging to make. But I yeah, check them out. My TikToks are great, guys. Get on them.
All right. Thank you, everyone, so much.
Wait. I wanted to say this quick thing, and this is for anyone watching. Dr. Evie, this could be for you as well. Maggie, I think you should check it out. It's a show on Bravo, and it's been on for so many years. And I re-binged it this weekend. I just re-binged all the reunions, and it's a show called Married to Medicine. And if you like housewife shows, this show is, and you like the interpersonal relationships between them, and just like, so basically the premise is some women are doctors and then some women are married to doctors. And this is the only cast on Housewives where majority from the OG cast from season one has stayed until season eight. And it's basically I forgot how great this show is because I rewatched it. I was like rewatching it on Hulu, and it's a Bravo show. And a marriage was actually saved at a reunion. Like the divorce papers were sent, and then it was like this big breakthrough at the reunion, and the marriage was saved. It's just like, that's the type of show that this is. High drama. The drama, like Shep, like when I cannot kiss it enough, but it is a really good show.
Maybe kissed it too much.
No, maybe. And then my spit went back into the wrong hole. But honestly, it is top tier television. And it's called Married to Medicine. And it is like season one through season. I think the new season is about to premiere sometime soon. Not too soon, but it's like honestly top reality television. So check it out. It's on, the first six or seven seasons are on Hulu. I think just the last one that aired not too long ago, and then the one that's coming up is not, obviously. But honestly, go check it out. I just wanted to say that quick thing before we end.
Great tip. I'm sure I'm going to. I'm always needing a new Bravo show. So
Married to Medicine is so good.
And Miami, I got a list. I got homework.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye, baby.
Love you.
Love you, baby.